As we consider what this transfiguration, this event that happened so long ago, what does it mean for us? Let us pray and ask God to help open our hearts so we can really hear him and understand what he is saying to us today. Holy God, we hear all these words and about light and shining and darkness, and we don't fully get it. Come and speak to us. May your Holy Spirit reveal your plans for us, your hope and your words for us through Jesus today. All these things we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You've heard the saying, right? Seeing is believing. And it makes sense. We're visual people. We need to know what we're going to believe because we got to see it. Show me the proof. That makes sense. And as much as I can talk to you about Jesus, as much passion and excitement that I can muster up because of my experience, it's not going to mean anything unless and until you, we, each one of us, encounter for ourselves Jesus. Because these stories we read, right, especially today, about the light shining and Jesus turning dazzling white, whiter than anything on this earth, well, sounds great, but we weren't there. And so it's just sometimes become stories, right, that really don't translate. And again, we are physical people. We want to touch, see, feel, right? I want to know what this is. We want to understand it. But here's the thing about our faith, my friends. Think about Jesus. He invites us to believe and trust and follow him with faith. It's a leap of faith of sorts, as we've been talking about in our Bible study. He, at the end of the day, yes, we've got all the words in the scriptures, we've got testimony and witness and people telling us about Jesus and what he has done for them, but at the end of the day, it's about our personal relationship with our Lord and experiencing him for ourselves. And that's what happened on this Transfiguration Sunday. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. And usually he takes those three, if you've noticed, with him when he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray when he's going on this transfiguration journey to this mountaintop. And so he takes them. And if you noticed, we began the reading with 6 days later. All right, what happened 6 days before, right? There's a connection. Listen, the Bible has... it's not wasted words. There's a reason why things are added there. And in fact, the Bible can't contain everything Jesus said and did. John wrote that. But, we need to hear what we're reading today and understand what it means. 6 days later. 6 days earlier, here's what happened. Jesus was telling his disciples about the suffering, the crucifixion, dying at the hands of the Pharisees. And he also tells them about on the third day he's going to rise again. And so at this time when Jesus is sharing this with his disciples, Peter, you know Peter, the one who just blurts things out that's in his heart and his mind without even thinking sometimes. Well, he says, no, Jesus, stop. He rebukes Jesus. I mean, seriously, he's got guts, chutzpah, if you're going to rebuke Jesus, telling him you can't say that. Well, Jesus turns to him and says, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking about. This is what is going to happen. And you need to understand that following me means difficulty. It will mean taking up your cross. It will mean sacrifice. But no. Peter didn't quite understand that. You and I don't quite understand that if we're truly honest. Because let's face it, there's a part of us that feels that if we accept Jesus as our Lord, if we follow him, then we should not have problems. We'll be protected. We'll be comfortable. We'll be okay. We'll be blessed. We talked about this in our Bible study. See, I'm plugging in these things because we have to dig into what it means to be blessed. We have to dig into what it means to follow Jesus.
Well, the disciples didn't quite understand what it would mean to follow Jesus, because their understanding was about that Messiah to come that had been promised through the prophets, about the one that was going to save them, annihilate their enemies, and rule. So they were looking for a Messiah. You know what I mean? They got Jesus, who was humble, who was kind, who talked about suffering and death. The world's way of thinking, who talked about failure. Because to them, success, leadership, it was about being triumphant and annihilating and being on top. To Jesus, it was a whole different story about loving others, about sacrifice, about giving your life for your friends, your loved ones, so that they could have eternal life. Jesus' idea of leadership and Jesus's teachings about the kingdom of God were very different than that of the disciples. So they needed a whole new retraining of sorts to understand about the kingdom of God. So Jesus had been teaching them. Jesus had been telling them. But again, 6 days earlier, they didn't get it. And so now 6 days later, Jesus takes these three up to a mountain. And we read about the transfiguration. We read that all of a sudden, as Jesus is standing there, he is shining brighter than anything or anyone on this earth. And along, if that's not enough, along with him are Elijah and Moses. You think, seeing this amazing vision in front of them, that they would, okay, they've got it. Jesus is God. They've got it. Especially when they hear God's voice saying, listen to him. You think it would all make sense and it would be enough. Well, Peter again, he sees this and again he jumps right in. All right, Jesus, let's build three tents, three tabernacles in other translations. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And let's just stay here basking in this wonderful moment of being in God's divine presence. Because remember, Jesus was God in human flesh. He was fully human, yes, because he felt every pain, every lash, every moment on the cross, but he was also fully divine, so that he was connected to the God of all creation, and he received strength. And you see, that moment that these disciples had, you think that that would be enough? Well, it's not. Because you know what happens, right? You know some of the story. What happens is that they leave the mountain, and then it happens as Jesus said it was going to happen. He gets arrested, tortured, crucified. Peter denies Jesus. So all this talk about, I'll be with you, well, Peter wasn't able to handle when it came down to it, carrying his cross. And he denies Jesus. You see, it's a process of becoming a follower of Christ. It's not going from 0 to 100. For each one of us, that process and that discipleship journey is at a different pace, my friends. Some of us are still where Peter was, denying Jesus and saying, no, I'm not going to suffer. Or when we suffer, we leave him because, you know what, God, if you loved me, you wouldn't allow this to happen. So some of us are still in that place of our faith journey where we are not quite ready to fully hear what Jesus is saying about suffering. But the good news is that Jesus does not give up on us, and he keeps calling us. He keeps wanting us to take us further along in our faith journey like Peter. So what happens with Peter is that, okay, he gets it a little bit better now that he's seen the transfiguration of our Lord, but still he backslides. Have you ever times in your journey, and I just talked to most of you, if not all of you, but some I haven't, and I think I know your heart sufficiently enough to believe that you are sincerely seeking Christ, that you believe in God, that you have a desire to have a relationship with him, and you want to grow in your faith. I sincerely believe that. But I also know that each one of us is on a different journey. But here's what we learned from today, my friends, that each one of us has to grow in our faith. That if we're truly going to accept Christ, then we have to truly listen to what he says, not just rely on what we see. Sometimes like the disciples, we see that tomb closed. We see that stone stopping them in their tracks. Some of us, we see death, and that's the end. Some of us see challenges. Some of us see the problems in front of us, and that is all that we see. Our journey, our faith journey, ends. But the good news is that, my friends, Jesus is ready to come in and shine his light in our hearts. If we open our hearts, our minds, our spirits to him, if we open ourselves to him, God will speak. God will pour his Holy Spirit and help us understand things that we can't understand on our own. So back to Peter. You know, Peter, the one who denied Christ, who ran away, that's the same Peter. On that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, he opened himself up and he allowed himself to experience the Holy Spirit so that he got power from beyond himself, so that he preached to more than 3,000 people and they were converted. He didn't do that on his own, my friends. You see, these experiences 6 days before, 6 days later, some of us 60 years later, some of us 30 years, you know, our journey is at a different time. But if we allow God to speak to us, he will change us from who we are to who he created us to be, so we can shine his light. You know, sometimes some people talk about this shine and light and darkness, and we don't quite get it. You know, what are you talking about? It's light enough. I mean, it's bright. It's not dark, right? But that's the physical, earthly way of looking at things. Jesus came to talk about the spiritual darkness. Look, the lights could be all on. It could be bright as day, but we could still be walking down a dark path. What does that mean? I'm talking about a darkness of the spirit. A darkness of the soul, where we are disappointed, discouraged, depressed, where we are weighed down by the problems of this world. My friends, that is a darkness that is a spiritual one. Jesus came to shine his light to illuminate us from the inside out, so that even if the world is full of dark, our spirits will be bright and we will be able to see with our souls, with our spirits, into eternity. We will be able to take our gaze off the limitations of this earth, from this world, to the promise and the light of eternity. That's amazing, my friends, because you know what? Sometimes we face the things on this earth that just stops us in our tracks. You know, I talked about the tomb that stops. For Moses, what he was before he encountered God was someone that really, even though in the outer sense, on the surface, he seemed to have it all. I mean, he was in the Pharaoh's house, right? He had money, riches, power. He had everything he could ever want. But it was not enough. Something in his heart did not allow him to stay there, because that was not enough. God had bigger and better plans for him. So he left that. And he went into the desert. That 40 years he spent into desert. So for him, that journey was 40 years. For some of us, it might be 70 years. That journey is different for all of us. But eventually, Moses encountered God in the burning bush. And he was transformed by that experience as well, because God called him from who he was to what God wanted him to do, which was to save the Israelites. And now Moses protests. He says, I stutter. I can't do this. It's too much. God says, my grace is sufficient. Well, that's in another part of the Bible, but in essence, that's what God tells him, that I will give you the words. I will put them in your mouth. My light will be enough for you to do my work. So Moses changes from a stuttering, uncertain shepherd who lived in a desert to one, a leader who leads the Israelites out of bondage. Can't even begin to imagine the change and the transformation that took place there. So Moses, that was what was stopping him. What has you scared? What has you trembling? What prevents you from fully entering into the presence of God and accepting Jesus as your Savior and allowing Him to transform you. Sometimes it's the fear of leaving the comfort of the known. Sometimes it's facing suffering. That's what was for Peter. He didn't want to suffer. But that changed when he encountered Christ. For Moses, it was being in the limelight. That changed once he encountered God. Sometimes it's death that stops us in our tracks. We can't go beyond where we are because we're so scared of death. We're scared of what's in front of us. We're scared for our kids. We're scared for whatever situation is in front of us. My friends, what has you scared? What prevents you from opening your hearts to truly accepting the light of Christ in your life? Because that does mean change. If you are the same person you were when you first encountered Jesus, when you first said, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. If you are the same person at that moment, my friends, you haven't really accepted Christ. Because to accept Christ means to change, to be transformed. Elijah, we talked about Moses, but Elijah was also the second person with them on that mountain. You know, Elijah's story is amazing. He was on fire for God. Even when all others were worshiping Baal and were offering sacrifices and were following everything else but God, Elijah remained firm. He held on to the word of God and he spoke God's truth. There was a time when Elijah is staying there and you've got all the prophets of Baal there and they're doing signs and Elijah is only one person. But he stands firm saying, you know what, do what you can do. I'll show you what my God can do. And he does indeed show them what God can do. And he does win, although God wins, not Elijah, God. But then there comes a time, and here's what Elijah's stumbling block was. He's doing all these things, and then you have Jezebel, who's after his life. And he's exhausted. Elijah said, God, I've been doing this for you. I've been faithful and no one is left. I've done this for you. I can't do anymore. Have you ever had that where you are just running on empty? You can't do anymore. Well, that's what happened with Peter. God knew that Peter didn't have any more, so he needed to fill him. God knew that Elijah needed filling, so he told him to rest. He gave him a place to rest and sleep. And then an angel brought food and he was strengthened and he was ready for the work ahead. My friends, Elijah is one person in the Bible that was taken up to heaven because he trusted in God and because he, even though he was at the end of his strength, he turned to God, who filled him with power from high. And that's what we understand today from the Transfiguration. God's power, God's divinity, God's glory is one that is dazzling, that's beyond anything in this world, that has power beyond anything we can imagine. But if we stand in his presence, if we open ourselves to it, we too can receive this power so that he can move us from where we are, afraid, trembling, scared, tired, depressed, into people who are bold and ready to give our lives. And indeed, Peter had to give his life. You know, he was scared of suffering, but he was willing and ready to give his life when it came time because he had the power of God that moved him from where he was to being able to see the kingdom. Elijah received power from God when he allowed and he rested in God's presence, and when he allowed himself to receive that strength. You and I are able to have that same strength, that same power. My friends, do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid when you're running on empty. When, like Peter, you're questioning. When, like Elijah, you're ready to give up. Do not be afraid when, like Moses, you keep looking at what your limitations are, what you can't do. Don't allow that darkness, because that's the enemy. He's trying to keep you in the dark. Don't allow yourself to stay there because Jesus has better plans for you. He wants to bring you into his light. He wants to show you his kingdom. He wants to show you things that you can't even imagine. So my friends, as we hear the words today of our God, he says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. My friends, listen to his words. Listen to what Jesus says. Don't stay with what you see, because sometimes what you see is just the limitations of this world. Listen to Jesus, who promises us, I will be with you till the end of the age. But go and make disciples. Go and tell everyone about me. Go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. So my friends, let us remember that the God we serve, His light is more powerful than anything. He can shine in any situation, but we have to open ourselves to Him and allow Him in and allow Him to change us, to transform us from who we are to who He has created us to be. Amen.